Good morning. So we've been talking about prayer, if you've been with us, kind of coloring outside of the lines of Colossians a little bit to just have a discussion on prayer. In preparation for today, I had this idea of talking about things that hinder prayer and things that promote God hearing us. And I kind of wanted to just lay out a bunch of verses for both sides, and I decided that that was not me this morning. So, but the focus of this morning is going to be on this idea of getting to a place where God, where we can have a conversation with God. I don't know about you. I sometimes struggle talking with God. I shouldn't, but I do. And so I have to ask the question, why, and how do I deal with that? And there are times when I think of it almost as a magnet, right? Two magnets, actually, right? There's God and there's me. And we have a positive and negative pole, right? And if you put the positive against the negative, the closer they come together, the more they pull towards each other. And that's kind of how prayer should be. But too often, the closer I get, the more resistance I find. And so I need to get past that. And we're going to kind of talk today about some of those things. The way I have it laid out right now is I got a bunch of verses that speak to me on some of this, and we'll go through them. I'll try to help you understand where I'm coming from, and then after that, we'll get into a little bit deeper discussion on how I think it all fits together, and then we'll, of course, open it up for discussion, just to give you an idea of what I'm hoping to do. So, let's start with James. Let's start with the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. James 1, 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I don't know if you've ever prayed with doubt. If you have, you're probably like the rest of us. and this verse, these verses rebuke that pretty severely. So I asked myself, how do I pray without doubting? Here it's asking about receiving wisdom, just to get the idea. This is not a, if I don't doubt and I ask for a Mercedes, here comes my Mercedes kind of verse, but it is, though, about your heart and believing God and being in agreement and not having any doubt. So how can I pray without doubting? Okay, we're going to set that to the side. We're going to talk more about this later. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John is a very polarized book. It's either everything or nothing kind of a book. We're going to go to chapter 4, verse 6, starting in verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. This section gives me a million thoughts. Obviously, we have to love those around us. We already know that if we don't treat our wives right, God doesn't hear our prayers. This section isn't really talking about prayer at all, but love is definitely one of the things that if we go without giving, we are, in a way, rejecting our relationship with God. But that's not why I brought up this verse. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. That part's had me thinking for a while. Every once in a while I think about this verse because fear seems to be the enemy between wherever there's fear, there's something wrong with my relationship with God. There's a lack of love. There's a lack of trust. There's something going on. And it involves punishment, it says. Now, I remember once at work, if you know me well, you might think that I'm an aggressive person. Because in conversations, I'm somewhat aggressive, right? If we discuss something, I'm going to be really adamant about some things. But if you know me really well, you know that I will never hit somebody. I've taken hits and not hit back. And that's not because I immediately forgave them with the love that's in my heart or something like that. There are other reasons, but I am not one to fight back, and I'm scared of that sort of physical conflict. So there was a conflict at work outside, and people were beating each other up pretty severely. There was a lot of alcohol involved. They showed up at my work, by the way, that way. Just wasn't our fault. yeah. Disclaimer. But yeah, they were getting violent with one another, and I remember seeing that, running outside, and I got in the middle of it to hold them apart, and to keep them from hurting each other, and I even took a punch during that interchange, and afterwards, I was surprised because I realized I had zero fear during the whole thing. I have two reasons for that. One, because I run that business. And so to me, the thought of should I get involved didn't even come into the equation. Of course I should get involved. It's my parking lot. And the other thing was that I'm trying to keep them from hurting each other. The thought of me getting hurt never even entered the equation. So there's this thing where if you're focused on other people, this verse is extremely true. It casts out fear. Right? If you're other focused, then you're not focused on yourself and you're not fearing. And you're not afraid of punishment because you're not doing anything wrong. But in prayer, I find myself often afraid of looking at the God who I'm trying to talk to. There's fear there. There's this understanding of God's righteousness, which is perfect. And I cannot be in that presence with any dirt on me. And I recognize that, and it makes me shrink back. Fear involves punishment. Okay, so we're going to take that and we're going to put that on our shelf and move on. Revelation 7. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they?"
Verse
31. Oh, I'm sorry. Revelation 7, 13, starting in 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you know." In other words, I don't know, you do. And he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, there's this section in here, nor will the sun be down on them, nor any heat. This is not a spiritual point I'm about to make. I always love this verse because I'm always imagining someone in Seattle or England reading this verse going, "This sounds terrible." just a little fun thing that my mind does when I read a passage. But of course, this was written to people in the Middle East. I think if it was written to someone in Seattle or England, it would talk about how the sun would shine down on them. The point is, there's comfort in the Lord, and there's peace and love. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Without that robe, without that white robe washed in the blood of the Lamb, we cannot approach God. But they have, and therefore they get to be in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." It is only with these white robes that we get to enter in. And again, this section is not about prayer, but it is what is in my mind about God's purity and how I have to be to enter eventually heaven. But even now, how close can I get to the Lord with dirt on me? Not very much, not very close. Now, I know, and you know, that you've been saved and that we do have white robes, right? We are washed in the blood. But we walk around on this earth, and we still have dirty feet, if you will. And there's this sense in which we are not perfectly clean at any given moment. And we're aware of that, and it creates this barrier between us and God. Yeah, let's go here too. Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 24. We're going to read the whole psalm, just because I really enjoyed reading it while I was studying for this. I don't spend enough time in Psalms. Who here loves spending time in Psalms? Yeah, there's a few. It is a great place to be once in a while. It's not my typical genre of getting information, right? I like factual stuff. If I'm going to read something, it's not going to be a poem. It's not going to be a story. I listen to audiobooks, but I'm not going to read a story. I'm only going to read instructional material, almost guaranteed. If I'm reading in a physical book, it's instructional. It's got to be just packed full of solid, good information. But the Psalms are wonderful to find myself in once in a while. Psalms 24, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? That's a good question. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. We receive our righteousness from him. That is something that I found myself once questioning. You know, if you're anything like me, you've attempted to talk to the Lord and wish that you could bring your own righteousness. I know I have. It's so much easier mentally for me to come to the Lord if I can look back and not remember a sin from the previous couple days. Man, I can go in there and feel like I can approach him. Of course, it's a lie that I tell myself. But it is so much easier mentally because I know God is righteous and I want to enter in that state. I remember once struggling with this and going, Lord, how can I approach you right now? I have no righteousness in which to approach you. And the Lord made it very clear to me, you're right, you don't and you won't. Only in my righteousness. Only in the righteousness of Christ and by his blood. Amen. Okay. So, we talked last week a little bit about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and trying to build a relationship, maybe even with each one of them, and not separately, but individually, or that sort of thing. While we're on earth, Jesus kind of said that he will come to us, him and the Father. John 14:23, we looked at this last week or the week before. Said Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So Jesus says that if we keep his word, he will come. And he will spend time with us, him and the Father. But he also makes it clear that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the one that's walking with us all the time. And when I approach God, well, let me start differently. A lot of fathers in the faith, if you will, pillars of the faith that have written to us about prayer and entering the throne room and that sort of thing. A lot of them talk about something called, what do they call it? I don't know, entering in. There's this time period that they take. It takes, a lot of them say, about 15 minutes. That, of course, is a meaningless number. It's different for every person. But there's sort of this struggle that we go through in our fleshly being to focus in on God and experience his presence. And that is something, it's a struggle. And you might go, why is there a struggle? And it's because of these things. It's because God is holy. And it's because in our nature, we have a tendency to be somewhat opposed. And so in my experience, always struggling with this. I always wanted a shortcut, right? How do you get a shortcut? I have some friends that over the last few years they started speaking in tongues, and one of the things that they, or praying in tongues, and one of the things that they testify to me is that when they speak in tongues, the second they speak in tongues, they're immediately at that place that I take forever to get to. Which sounds amazing, and so I pray that the Lord gives me that, and then I don't get it. And I think I know why. I think I don't receive that because I need to do this, what we're about to talk about. And the way I liken what I do is to a family table discussion, a family table conversation. There's a sense in which I understand that I cannot just address God and immediately feel his presence and immediately be in the throne room of God going, look how close I am. I can just drink it all in. And I realize that I have all these things, but I also know that the Holy Spirit is with me. He might not be jazzed with me at the moment, maybe a little quenched, maybe, right? And I know that I'm not in full agreement with him. I am mentally, theologically, but not in the way that I'm living, right? Like, I'm more concerned about my bank account or whether me and my wife are in the best part of our relationship right now or whether or not I'm ready to come before you guys on a Sunday morning. There's a million things I'm concerned about, and it's not... It is not all the things that the Holy Spirit is concerned about with me. Not the things that the Father is concerned about. It's not the things that Jesus is concerned about. And so there's a division. So one thing that I do is I have a conversation. And I try to air all of the stuff. Like, I mean, obvious things at first, like people I might be mad with or upset with, because I know that our first command, basically, besides loving God, is to love the one another. And if I am in division with other people in the church, or just have a division against other people, I know that's a problem. God loves even the unbeliever. So if I don't love that unbeliever, that stands between me and God. Maybe God is mad at them too. Maybe I'm mad for a good reason. And maybe God isn't even in disagreement with me, but I know that in general I should love others, and so I have a guilty conscience. And that conscience is now between me and him, even if what I did is not between him and me. And so I need to have a conversation with him about it. And so I kind of consider this the before prayer conversation. I have children, and every once in a while, I'm like, why didn't you ask me for this thing? Well, because I thought you'd say no. Right? And why do they get that idea? Because we have general conversations about some of those things, and sometimes they're absolutely right, and sometimes they didn't directly enough talk to me about it. But it is common to talk to somebody, a human being, about things that you're want or thinking about asking them. I don't know if you can remember a time, but I definitely, with my boss too, I'll talk about things that I'm thinking about doing, and it lets me feel him out. Like, is this something we can talk about more deeply? There's just straight up sin to confess when you're talking in that sort of beginning phase of prayer. So that you can put those aside, because that's something that you know is dividing you and the Father. Yeah, things you feel guilty about, things you should feel guilty about, but maybe are not feeling guilty about. I've had some of those where I don't really feel bad about that, but I know I should feel bad about it. And I know it's probably coming between me and God. See, my relationship with the Father is not just based on my conscience. That's part of it, but it's not just my conscience. Even if my conscience feels good about this, doesn't mean that it's not a seared conscience in that spot. And then sometimes things I'm not sure if I should feel guilty about. Just to go even deeper into it. I'm not sure if I should feel guilty about it. Let's have a discussion about it, right? Then there's my priorities, like I mentioned. Like sometimes my priorities and the Holy Spirit's priorities don't add up. And I need to talk about these things. I need to talk about my fears, right? Because these are things where I'm not walking in faith. Things I don't trust the Lord with. I don't know if any of you guys have those. I've definitely had these. I've told the Lord on a couple occasions, this thing, I don't trust you with this. This is, what you want is not what I want on this. And I'm not happy about it. I think you'll ruin my life if I let you do what you want to do. And the only way to deal with those types of things is to air it and to talk about it and to lay it bare and let him look at it and be willing to listen and have and be willing to let him change your minds. Yeah, and I already mentioned things you are thinking of asking the Father. It's on the end of my list here, but it's, I already brought it up, but it is something that I found that I have asked the Lord for things where I already knew he was going to say yes. I think that should be happening more often. Because after this, after I air my stuff and I've gotten all the blockage out of the way, then I can enter in into a real conversation where I can do things like make requests. And I think that if you know the will of God, it's much easier to make a request knowing that you will get that. And I know that just generally talking about it might make you feel like you've already asked, even though you haven't. And this is something I learned from my wife. I'll talk about something and then walk away and kind of just expect it to work out. Like I've asked her to do something. She's like, you never asked me to do that. You've talked about it. Like, it would be nice if that magically happened. And I think sometimes we think that God is that way. But no, this talking about it is what you do beforehand. You're talking kind of, you're interacting with the Spirit of God, figuring out what the heart of God is. But then you have to go in and ask your Father for that thing, for real. And you can do it without any doubting because you've gotten rid of the blockage and you've gotten rid of this idea that, like, I don't know if he's okay with this or not, because you've felt out your relationship and you've come, you've worked your way kind of to the same plane. That sounds mystical, so maybe not. But you've built that rapport and relationship and you've already discussed the nuance and so you already know what the heart of God is. So ask for it. And I honestly believe that the Lord is not one to answer prayers that you didn't. Sometimes he takes care of things that you need without him asking. He knows what you need. He'll take care of it. Don't even worry about it. We have some scriptures along those lines, and those are true. But there's a relationship that we have with him, right? Like, my son will get food whether he asks for it or not. But there are other things he's not going to get without asking for them, because they need to be important to him, and he needs to invest in that and ask me and work towards them. But if you already know, if you know the will of God, you can pray for it in confidence. And you can approach him without any fear of punishment because you've taken care of things. You've sort of washed your robes. I really wish that I could. We discussed this recently with a couple of guys, and there was disagreement here with me, but like, I really like the story about where Jesus washes their feet. And to me, and he tells them to do the same. To me, that's about like that process of getting rid of that dirt, right, that we do for one another, which is important. One of the ways to get through some of these, actually, especially with sin, we get so hung up on some of our sin and we can't get past it. And it's such a difficulty that we alone, talking to God, don't know how to deal with this. And we need somebody to come alongside us. And we need to let them know, like, I'm struggling here and I can't get to the right place anymore. I can't meet God on this. And they can pray for us. And the Lord, for the sake of that friend who is in a right place with him, will forgive us and put us back in that right place to be able to get to this relationship with him where we can talk to the Father. Okay, time-wise, I'm already way over. I'm sorry. I'm still going to give you a couple minutes to interact with me on this. And then we got to be done for today. Yes, ma'am.
I think you really read about the prayer. Lots of things are like, maybe you're not even ready at that time to pray. You know, like, sometimes in the evening, go to bed, all this stuff just comes in front of me like a movie and stuff. And I just get down on those people that come and try to torture me and tell them what's going on and what they better do with their life and their soul, or they're going to go straight to hell in the darkness. I don't fool around. I just get on. You know, and they go away. And that's what I have to do because for some reason, being a Christian, sometimes they attack you, you know? I mean, and it's coming when you don't really realize it. You just got to always be ready. If anybody needs to hear something spanking or a good sermon from you or a good word or some love, just give it to them because God wants you.
Okay. Okay, let's close up. I'll pray real quick. Father, I come before you thankful for your Holy Spirit, thankful for your Son. And I ask that you help guide us as a body, but individually, into a relationship with you where we can cut through, where we can clean the dirt off our feet, shake the dust of our garments, and approach you in honesty, complete honesty, and in agreement with you that you hear us if we come to you in honesty and with our whole heart, and if we seek you, you are there, Lord. Lord, I ask for a great fellowship in our church over the next few minutes as we eat cookies, drink coffee, and discuss the week, Lord, and prepare for the next hour. Please bless Dan. Fill his mouth with your words that we might learn more this morning. Honor and glory for you, for who you are, in our lives as our Father. You have not left us as orphans, but you interact with us personally and deeply and caringly without neglect. In Jesus' name, amen.